I will tell you that there have been gators have made their way up to Pickwick Lake.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah.
Joni.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't want that to happen. Yeah, I don't want that to be real.
So, and they're like, what do you mean? If you see one, don't shoot it. And I was like, okay.
All right. I don't know anything about that.
I don't know what my new suitcase and pair of boots are made out of. I have no idea how I got this, but it wasn't from shooting a gator. Mm-hmm.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Stunning. Welcome, everyone.
Stunning.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 107.
Nope.
8. 108.
Yeah.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
I would have sworn we just did 106. Okay.
No, I think 107 was this last week.
Time with you is so special. It just flies by.
It flies. You don't even know it's happening.
That's
just
right.
Like a catch-up virus.
All right, y'all, 108. Mm-hmm.
And we have lots to say.
Okay. Should we start with football?
Yes, we should. Yes, we should. Sorry, guys. Okay. I'm so sorry if I just screamed at your faces.
There is a reason that the SEC is the SEC. There was a man... Today's Sunday. We're recording a little early. It is Sunday, and we had a guest speaker, and he's from New Mexico or something. And he said, so in the South, do y'all watch professional football, or is it just SEC down here? You know, and really, for the most part, it is, as I watch professional football, but for the most part,
there's some SEC overlap.
Because SEC is the most exciting conference in football. I am telling you, you don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know one week to the other.
What? But let's just start with Vanderbilt beating Alabama. Unranked Vanderbilt. The Commodorks.
You can't call them that anymore.
The Tide.
The number one seeded team in the whole nation.
Yes.
And they whooped them at home at Vandy in Nashville. I happened to watch. We were packing up my mother-in-law yesterday, so we did have it on, and then but then we got back. We watched that pretty much that whole game for sure. And
so, let me say this, because this was my morning. First of all, Mississippi State did not lose yesterday.
No, they didn't. They sure didn't.
Because we didn't play.
It was a bye week.
As it turns out, Mizzou didn't play either. They showed up, but they didn't play.
Ching. They did not play.
That was the first game that I watched. That was ridiculous.
I don't even know what happened.
I don't know, but Mizzou did not play. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they.
But A&M is a good. Let's just be honest.
They are a very good team.
In fact, I think A&M was picked. I think they were not the underdogs.
No,
to be honest, I think Mizzou was, even though they were higher ranked.
I'm just saying, yeah. So that was your first, you know, turnover.
It wasn't an upset, but it was definitely much lower. It was the only game with two ranked teams playing, so it was supposed to be like a good game, and it was good for the Aggies.
Mizzou got spanked.
We got spanked. And it's hard to play in Kyle Field. You're down there. That stadium holds over 100,000 people, losing their ever-loving minds. But, man, they did not show up. There was no defense.
My goodness, no.
There was no offense.
Nope.
There was nothing. There was no Gatorade. There was nothing.
There was that. And I actually laid in the pool yesterday and watched that game. No, welcome to October, and I'm in the pool.
That was a better use of your time, I'll tell you that.
So I decided after that I probably needed to, like, do something productive. after that game, and Caleb calls me and said, please tell me you're watching the Vandy Alabama game. And I'm like, oh no, why would I watch that? Really? You know,
why would we watch that?
He said, Vandy's winning. I said, okay, yeah, but where are we? He said, it's halftime. I said, oh, okay, I'm going down.
No. And I think they were winning the whole time. They definitely scored first, for sure. And I don't know that Alabama ever went up.
I don't think they ever came up.
By a teeny amount.
I think maybe in the very beginning, was it 7-3 in the very beginning?
I know Vandy scored first. I think
Vandy,
I don't even know.
I don't know. I watched too much football to remember.
We were too in shock. We didn't know what was happening.
Vanderbilt's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Was outstanding. You'll have to remember Diego. I forgot his last name.
I don't know. He was from like New Mexico. He had like 70 70 family members there, which was probably about half the crowd. Boom, boom,
right.
Boom.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Vandy. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, he was not recruited out of high school.
Nope.
He begged New Mexico. I think he went and he begged New Mexico to play for them. And they said no.
They said no.
Yep.
He went to JUCO. He went to community college, I think.
Yeah.
And then tried again somewhere else.
And somehow ended up at Vanderbilt. And he handed Alabama the first victory in 40 years. Mm-hmm.
That's the first time they've beaten any ranked.
Yes.
I want to say, like, they're not, you know, we make fun, but we don't, but you know, they're in the SEC to bring up the GPA of the conference.
Right.
We all understand that. we all understand their purpose.
We got that. Yeah.
And they baseball again. We give them all the props.
Yeah.
But they've not been a football school, but they've had a new coach the past few years. And
I'm telling you, this quarterback, y'all, he was getting sacked and he just popped
and calm and collected. Nothing bothered him.
He just popped that ball out. He just chunked it up and somebody caught it. It was outstanding.
It was
everything that I saw was outstanding.
And then then the other reason to watch at Alabama this year also is because, of course, that young wide receiver, Williams,
right.
number two,
yes.
we talked
yeah.
about last week. And he had a great game. Did you
he
see
did.
That catch where half his body was out of bounds
and he
still managed to land
still
in
kept
bounds?
His feet in bounds. Yeah.
And then ran and then turned it up the acceleration and scored.
Yeah, that's right. He came down on the ground running.
He came down and never missed a beat.
There was no hesitation.
And he'd been in the air and like pushed. And then he was like, bye.
See ya.
So
and had two defenders on him. And he just went.
I know.
But,
so that was worth watching for sure.
Yeah, it was.
Then let's just be honest. You know, precious Vandy. You know they're going to storm the field.
Oh,
and you see the sheriff's department guy talking to Milrow from Alabama, kind of explaining, like, you know, I'm sure Tim's like, what's he saying? I'm like, I'm sure he's just saying, hey, we're going to just leave because you're not going to be able to get across
the field and do
all that. Like, let's not try to do that. And sure enough, those little Vandies, those little Commodores came streaming down onto their, they didn't really fill the field up. I mean, that's what they're not known. They don't attend well their football. They might.
No,
they probably will now.
They've always had an outstanding baseball program, or at least in the last few years. And baseball, they've done very well, but football is not their sport. So,
and they don't support. They don't typically go because it's not good. But I bet this will pick it up. But they got out on that field, and then bless it, when Tim goes, they're going to take the goalpost down.
Yeah, they did.
I laughed. They were trying so hard. They're like, we've never done this.
Yeah.
We don't know what this is about. And then later, you see that video of the goalposts going down Broadway.
Marching down Broadway.
And let me tell you what, that's not close.
No.
If you don't know Nashville, that's not around the corner.
No.
And they have got the goalposts on their whole Vandy crowd marching it up Broadway, the big tourist, you know.
So, yeah, if you are not familiar with Nashville, Broadway is where all of the, like, country star bars are. And,
everything you've seen on the tourist pictures, you know, is all, and they are marching it in between cars right up that street, and they marched that thing and dumped that thing right into the river.
Right. I mean,
It made me so happy. I was like, look at y'all go.
Yep. Yep.
Look at y'all do it. You figured out how to get that thing.
Yeah. They did it. Took all of them. But they
took every single last one of them. But I would have loved nothing better than to have been seeing that. I would have just, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
So that was very
exciting.
Sorry,
Alabama, but it is fun to watch a like super underdog win.
Oh, of course. It's just, there's no explaining it. You know, that's what we live for. We had that whole on any given day. I do want to go back to Mizzou and A&M, though. Okay. Did you hear about the blanket?
Did you hear about the story? No.
So Texas A&M has a defensive back. I wrote his name down so I wouldn't forget it, because he's called Will the Blanket Lee. That's his nickname, because he's so tight, right? He just snugs you right up. He's wrapped right around you. He's a blanket against the wide receivers, you know? So the story is, I mean, it really happened, but they don't know if it was him or not. When Mizzou got to A&M and got to their hotel, waiting in the room of the wide receiver he was most likely going to be matched up with was a Texas A&M blanket and a note like saying, can't wait, you know, see you tomorrow. And then that wide receiver, to his credit too, although it may have been the thing that them all in.
Yeah.
He wrapped up in it and went out to warm-ups like on the field. He had that A&M blanket wrapped around him. He shouldn't have done that, because that mess up. But that level of trolling is next level. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. It doesn't hurt anybody. No, it's not offensive. No, it's you know, fun. But they left that Texas A&M blanket in there.
Yeah.
It made me very happy. And then, I mean, not to be, Arkansas beat Tennessee. The last game of the night.
Tennessee. Yep. Yes, they did.
You guys, the level of chaos this week in college football makes me so happy. I love it, a week where there's just, it is chaotic. And you, not in a bad way, but in like, you don't know what's going on. I felt like the world, when Vandy won, I was like, has hell frozen over? What is happening in this world? Something.
Yes. I told my mother, I said, I kind of hate Mississippi State didn't play this weekend. We might have won.
A good shot.
We might have. I mean, this was the world of upsets.
This was the upset week.
It was.
And we weren't even there for it.
Welcome to the SEC, people.
It was chaotic.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I don't know what any of the other teams did. I don't know anything about Ole Miss or any, because the three games I watched
those were the three that I had on too.
That's all I had to say. I will say, I'm going to go ahead and give the Spicy Uniform Award legitimately goes to Vandy.
Yeah.
It goes to Vandy. They had those all black, the all blacks, okay, black pants, black jersey with the cool gold numbers. And then to top it off, what pushes them over the top on this was the matte black helmet with the V, the gold V.
Yes.
Not the shiny, but they go that matte black.
That matte, yes.
And they just look spicy, and it came out. That's what pushed them over the edge. That's what helped them to win.
Is that what
Alabama.
It was? That's what,
it, what
was.
It was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Diego, but the fashion.
Sorry, you were great. You were great, but let's be honest. It was the helmet. Yeah, I couldn't get over it. I couldn't get over it all day. I couldn't get over it that night. I just was like, what is...
Yeah, I just will tell you, yesterday, all I did was football. That was it. Yep. I did not do one blamed thing except watch football.
Well, that was the Saturday to do it.
And I'm not
that
sorry.
That was the Saturday. Yeah. No. Yep. That was the Saturday to do it. And then Tim kept sending me all the things about them, you know, going down Broadway with those poles. And I just about...
Yeah.
Yeah. It was hilarious. So, yeah. Ooh, I'm glad we got that out of the way, because I wasn't going to be able to contain it. We're catching up. I'm like, I don't know what else to say, but this is what we did.
Yeah. So how was your week aside from that?
It was good. It was good. It was busy. Got everything fixed up at the booth for a big fall, hopefully this weekend there, and restocked it to the gills. I mean, it's just overflow. Everyone's booths look so good right now. Like, fall is such a fun time to go.
Tell us where your booths are again, in case you're in St. Louis.
In case you're in St. Louis, you want to head out to Chesterfield, which is a suburb out west. And those of you from here know, of course, but, and it's the Chesterfield Antique Mall, and it's a great little antique mall. It's not one of the hugest, but there's there's a lot in there. And I'm in the back section. So there's like an indoor, it's all indoor, but then there's kind of like a more warehousey section in the back. Anyway, but go to all the booths look great. There's so much good stuff. Like, it's just a really good time to and especially with Christmas, you know, again, man, there's so many cool gifts. If you guys are tired of like, you know, not that I love Amazon,
stuff
I love
that
Target.
Gets thrown
like,
in the garbage in, you know,
yeah,
a year.
But
yeah.
Like if you just need some interesting, different things or just something unique, you won't even know necessarily what you're looking for, but then you'll go in there and you might see some old pennant of a school that you're like, oh my gosh, that was my, you know, dad's college or high school, you know, who knows what you're going to find. So it's a great time. So I got all that pretty much really squared away because this week is going to be a big week. We're moving my mother-in-law tomorrow on Monday. That's why we're recording a little early into her new little apartment. And so we were over there yesterday and today packing up boxes and doing all that. And I think that's it. I can't think of another thing that happened. We're just pushing through to the end. We're just trying to get that goalpost in the Cumberland River. That's all we know. That's all we know.
Well,
what about you?
About the only interesting thing that happened was it was Hino Jr., who some of you, if you've listened to us before, know. Mm-hmm. His parents owned the camp that we went to, and he's since moved to Savannah. So it was his birthday Tuesday.
We took
him out for his birthday. So happy birthday, Hino.
Happy birthday, Hino.
And
that's awesome. Where'd you guys go?
We went to the Hickory Pit. The Hickory Pit has rebuilt, reopened. It caught on fire, about 2 years ago?
Yeah, probably. About 2 years burnt to the ground, and we didn't know where we were going to get food.
I know. So it's a barbecue place. I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff. It's not just barbecue. But my funny story, and we told him about John, so our friend, you know, that I call Dr. Brilliant and Boogie and all kinds of other names. You all came down. Everybody came down one summer, and I don't remember what it was for, but it doesn't matter.
I think it was just for fun. I think it anyway, just happened we could all be down there.
So, y'all, this is that place where the waitress is sugar, honey, darling, yeah, up. You know, I mean, she goes, what can I get for you, sugar? Darling, do you want some lemon with that? What about it, sweetie? Anyway, she comes in cute, beautiful, beautiful young blonde, and she's got on her tank top and her blue jean shorts, you know, and she walks over and she puts her hand on Boogie's shoulder and she said, what can I get for you, sugar? And he looks up and he went, wow. And Ron looked at him and said, hey, you realize you said that out loud, right?
Yeah, right. Like this does really happen. I think he just didn't know that this really.
Well, he, bless his heart, had been up in, I can't remember if he was at Boston or Connecticut at that point, but I think I think he was still doing his master's and PhD and all that stuff.
Oh, you think it was that long ago?
I think it was that long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he'd been up in the, you know, where people aren't quite so friendly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was, I'm sure, a little culture shock for him, but we went to the Hickory Pit. Yeah. It's remodeled and redone. And so
it was sorry, fun. I'm eating cheese. Excuse me, y'all. I haven't eaten all day.
So that was it. But
excellent. That's a fun time. How old is Mr. Hino?
I didn't ask.
Do we know?
I just felt like that was a question.
He seems to stop. Like he's aged since we've known him, but like he kind of stops and he just sort of is the same.
Aging,
and
I go,
how are we going to know? So we'll have to figure it. Maybe Janie will let us know. So
he's still a young buck.
Excellent.
Yes. So Friday night we had our football game, you know, Friday Night Lights.
Okay, how'd it go?
But I had to work in the visitor's box.
Oh.
And the athletic director puts me, you know, all the faculty they're assigned to work, you know, you know, whether football, basketball, something. And even the superintendent has said, I don't think that Joni should have to work the box because I'm normally doing the press box. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he comes by and he said, well, I've got about four people who won't speak to me right now. They're so mad at me, they won't speak to me. And I said, well, what did you do this time? He said, I put you over here in this box instead of the press box.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad move, sir. Yeah. That was a bad move.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were meanwhile, like, awesome, you know. Did you have to cook? Yeah. You didn't cook then, right?
No. Well, I made a few things and sent up there, but it's not like I normally do. Okay. So
that's probably good. You get a little break and be like, make some appreciate you.
Yeah.
You know, don't take it for granted, guys.
That's right.
She'll just walk out.
I just walk out that door.
She'll take her hot plate burner and go home.
Anyway, so that was it. And then next week, we've got a busy week. We've got Wednesday, Tuesday, we're cooking for an elementary school is having their harvest festival. And so cooking some snacks for that and our little treats. And then Wednesday, we have the big church meal. Mm-hmm, and
what's on the menu for this week? Do you have already?
Yeah, we're going to do the oven fried pork chops.
Oh, nice.
And macaroni and cheese, cinnamon carrots, and apple dumplings. Well, and ice cream.
That just sounds terrible.
Disgusting.
Sounds so bad. Oh, yummy. You had made apple dumpling.
And so, yeah, probably for about 80 people there. Okay. So we'll have that. And then we have on Friday, we have College and Career Day, which means that a bunch of colleges come to the school and a bunch of local career people come, and they have different booths that the students can go to and get information about all of it. And
that's always a good thing.
I think the military is coming this time too. So, we have to make breakfast for about 50 people, and we'll be prepping for that on Thursday and then serving it on Friday. Then it's fall break, baby.
Oh, okay.
I'm coming in hot.
Okay, good. Good. You will be ready. You're like, I'm cooking all breakfast and all this business, and then I'm out.
Right. That's right.
Good.
Okay. That's right. So,
well, that's good. I saw a thing. This is not related to anything, but it made me think of, don't ask me why. First of all, I don't know why I didn't know for so many years how good gnocchi is.
Yes.
Gnocchi. I never had that growing up. And like, I'm on a total gnocchi.
Oh, Holly, it's so good. I make a wonderful chicken gnocchi soup.
You never made it for me.
Well, I guess you need to come down.
I usually don't come in the fall. That's the thing, is I don't come at the right time. But I do. I can now because I'm freewheeling.
That's right.
So nobody can hold me down. But I'm just like, I thought about that the other day because we get some from Trader Joe, of course, in the freezer section, some really good bags, really easy. They've got the regular, but they also have a cauliflower gnocchi.
Oh, I've never had the cauliflower.
And it is so good.
I bet it is.
It's delicious. But anyway, and I've had it like at restaurants, but only in the past like 2 or 3 years. And I was like, how come I didn't know about my, and I grew up in a really, kind of a foodie family. Like, my dad and mom knew what was going on. We had all kinds of different foods and went out and did all. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever had gnocchi. They withheld the gnocchi from me.
So what are you putting your gnocchi in? What are you doing with it?
I really just do it in the pan, and then just, it's got the olive oil already on it. And then I just put seasoning on it, and I eat it just like that. Okay. And Tim sometimes will put a little, if you have like a little marinara or something, but I just like it just with some good spicy seasoning, kind of plain, or maybe some Parmesan, but it's so good. And I didn't know. So I don't know. I just felt like sharing that. But I was neglected and didn't know about the gnocchi.
Oh my. Maybe next week I'll do a chicken gnocchi soup. I don't have all that information in front of me, but
that's okay. I
can do a chicken gnocchi soup.
I just thought it was interesting because I'm like, apparently it's not like it's a super weird food. It's not one of those things that was on the radar.
Yeah.
Growing up in college, I ate pasta, I ate all the things, but somehow gnocchi was not, I don't know. Anyway, just thought I'd share. I really am enjoying the gnocchi. I'm in my gnocchi era.
Hey, so last week we did a pasta bar at church, and it was such a big hit. We toyed around with not doing one of our Wednesday nights is October 30th. Mm-hmm. And we toyed around with, we have a big harvest festival that usually is on Sunday, but I was like, look, this falls on Wednesday. Do we want to do that?
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
As it came down, we're still going to do it on Sunday. So we didn't plan a meal. And Brother Mitch said, just go ahead and do like chili and hot dogs. And I said, well, we're doing that Sunday. Should we do something else? And then I went, that pasta bar was such a hit. He said, yes, yes. So, but look, we did spaghetti, and I made big pans of spaghetti and then another big pan of chicken Alfredo. Oh, and I did smaller pans of We did a lemon cream chicken with angel hair pasta.
That would be amazing.
We did a steak and spinach gnocchi. Not gnocchi, I'm sorry, tortellini. You've got gnocchi on my brain.
I love tortellini too.
Tortellini. Okay. And we did a Cajun pasta with smoked sausage.
My goodness, you all did a lot. I thought you were doing like pastas and then people put sauce on it and stuff
Well,
like that.
I was going to, but frankly, it's so many of them with the cream sauces, they separate.
Yeah, so and it's hard to keep everything and the noodles
it's
dry
hard
out.
To, yeah. And then, So this just seemed a lot easier to do. And so that's what we did. But yeah, we had macaroni and cheese. We had all kinds of stuff and there was not a bite left. Not a bite.
I'm sure, because everyone loves that. Like, that's such a kid-friendly, family-friendly, picky eater-friendly. Yeah. Like, everybody likes, you know, at least one of those, if not several. So, well, that sounds real good. That's
real
amazing.
Good, I say. Yeah, so.
I know.
Now we're going to do that again. We're bringing it back. So.
Yep, absolutely. The other tip that I saw that I wanted to pass on, I was watching on the Instagram, and a video came up. And I don't know why I paused on it, but it was showing you how to escape a crocodile death roll, like an alligator. If an alligator gator gets you in, you know how they do the death roll?
Yes.
And they take their prey under and they start to spiral with you in the death roll. And it just, so I sat there and watched it because I thought, well, that's good information. Let me look at that.
In case the gator gets you.
You never know. Missouri, it could happen. But it was so hilarious. I don't know. I just thought I'd pass the tip on because apparently you're supposed to, because the gator starts doing its twirling and they're doing that. This is what I didn't know. I mean, they take you, underwater, but then they do that to like, because then you're limp or you're like resisting it.
Yeah.
And it separates your body parts come off. Like, it can mess you up because they're so strong rolling. So you're supposed to go with the roll.
Go with the roll, because I'm going to think about that while I am dragged underwater.
You're being gripped by an alligator, and you're underwater, and you can't breathe, and it's spinning you around, hitting you on the ground. Just think in your head back to that podcast you heard with those two women, and you're supposed to go with the roll.
I will tell you that there have been gators have made their way up to Pickwick Lake.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah.
Joni.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't want that to happen. Yeah, I don't want that to be real.
So, and they're like, don't, if you see one, don't shoot it. And I was like, okay. All right.
I don't know anything about that. I don't know what my new suitcase and pair of boots are made out of. I have no idea how I got this, but it wasn't from shooting a gator. Mm-hmm. Golly, that's not, I won't swim in that lake now.
I know. It's, I think about it a lot. If it gets you,
go with the roll.
Go with the roll.
And then I don't know what you do after that. That's the thing. They left it. They had this whole video on this tip and a animated like animation showing it. And I'm watching it like an idiot. I kind of feel, because I'm like, oh, this might be good information. But I'm like, more I think about it, I'm like, A, you're underwater. You're fixing to drown.
Yeah.
B, what are you going to do? So you're spinning with it. Are you just, is it going to let, I guess then you're just not dismembered. Maybe you can fight it when it stops. I don't know. Very not practical to me. I'm not feeling like it was very practical advice, but I'm passing it on.
Okay. Thank you for that.
In case you needed to know.
Appreciate that.
I don't know. It was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, another thing, not transitioning to a more serious note of something that was useful that I saw on Instagram. Someone was on there, a guy was, he's like a psychiatrist or psychologist or something, but he was making the point and it hit me as like, oh yeah, you're right. This is that time of year. He was talking about that this is kind of the time of year where if you've got college kids, college students, they can start to struggle. They can start to, it kind of starts to maybe, not that they're all gonna, not that whatever, but they can really kind of start to struggle like this time of year, about a week ago, as you get into October. It just, cause that's been like the time frame they've been away from home now for, a month or so, a couple months, maybe a month and a half. All the newness, all the excitement, all the, get to know, you know, all that kind of, not that you're done doing that, but yeah, it's all kind of settled down and now you're just living there.
Well, and this is also right. And this is also where it the rubber meets the road, kind of, you know,
it's midterms. Things,
I think John Garrett had like 3 tests this week and 4 tests last week
midterms
or something.
Start hitting, so you start to,
it gets highly stressful.
You start to see the academic strain a little bit and like, wow, okay, this is hard. Yeah. You're away from home. It's not Thanksgiving yet. Yeah. You're not. And it can just kind of be a minute.
Especially for freshmen who
especially.
All of a sudden you realize real quick that the way you studied in high school is not the way you study in college.
Yeah, it might not
be. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times some of these kids from
rural
schools. Sometimes it's they don't have to study all that much. And I don't have to, and I don't mean that bad, but you've got all kinds of, especially public schools, you've got inclusion, all this inclusion and stuff. And so the kids who need to be challenged, often they're not challenged the way that they should be. And so they can really
skate through a little bit.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm not saying that to put.
No, and they're still really bright kids. It's not that they're not, but those study have, like you said, that's a skill that I didn't have great when I went to, you know, college and I didn't, you know, I had to learn kind of how to do a lot of that. So, I just think it's kind of that time and you're learning that and you're figuring that out and they can just kind of start to feel a little. So just if you've got and like you said, it's particularly the freshman, I really think by the time, although sophomore year, that's the tricky year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the trick. That one will sneak up on you.
Yeah.
Because you think that, they've done this, it's not freshman year. And that also is a year where particularly, I've seen it in my own child. I've seen it in other people's kids. It's kind of like, there's something about, because it's none of the, it's just different. And it really starts to get, I don't know what it is. I really have no explanation. Yeah. It just, that sophomore year, I think you're just not expecting it. And so you're like, but just, it's a good time to check in. I know, you know, all of y'all, I'm sure you're talking to your kids and college kids and stuff, but just maybe as an encouragement too of continue to really just check in and give them good support and, you know, that they're going to get to be home soon, hopefully, or for some of you, if they can't or whatever, you know, you're going to pop up and see them hopefully, but also just know that it's normal so that you can convey to them it's normal. Cause a lot of them can kind of be like, wow, am I at the right place? Like, you know, am I at the right place? I'm maybe not making friends as quickly as I thought, or, you know, it's not like every movie I've seen and there must be something wrong with me and blah, blah, blah. And that's so normal and so natural. And just to, you know, support them, support yourselves as a parent to know that, okay, you know, I don't need to panic. We don't need to, you know, nothing's hopefully catastrophically wrong, but just they're feeling their way through it and just need a little extra support and that they know that, hey, this is totally, you know, you're right on schedule. This is right on schedule. Don't fret. So I thought I'd throw that out along with the alligator death row.
Yeah. And don't freak out too. For those of you who do have freshmen, if your high school student was always like a straight A student, you know, they may not be a straight A student in college.
Nope.
It's a lot different. Ron was very hard on JB his freshman year. And I was like, dude, you chill out. It's a whole different ball game. This is a, you know,
and a lot of those first classes, a lot of those early classes are weed out classes.
Yeah. Right.
So you don't think about that, but a lot of them are kind of not that they're designed, and it depends on the program. I think maybe that's more like that in medical and law a little bit. But
you also go from, I mean, depending on the university you go to, you're going from, you know, a high school class of 20 kids to a class of 300.
Mm-hmm.
And
more,
you don't have.
Oh, you mean a classroom class.
Classroom.
I'm with you.
Yeah. You don't have that one-on-one interaction. Mm-hmm. You don't have that high school teacher coming up to you and say, hey, you didn't get your work turned in.
Oh, yeah. There's nobody following up with you.
No. They go up on stage, they do their job, and they walk away. And they don't, I mean, if you fail, you fail. They're still getting paid. So,
now, with that said, yes, they don't follow up with you at all, like the high school. Like, right. There's none of that. Yeah. Like, hey, I noticed you. No, absolutely not. But the other bit of advice, of course, that I've, you know, seen myself as a student, as a parent, and then also right. heard many people saying, use the professor's office hours.
Yes. Go talk to them.
Those times, because that is your time to yeah. get one-on-one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sometimes it's with the TA, sometimes it's with the prof, but they will tell you their office hours and use that.
And I will tell you as a teacher too, if I've got a kid that just blows everything off that I do or just blows me, you know, mm-hmm. he's going to get the grade he gets. If I have a student that comes to me and says, Shank, I didn't get this. I've mm-hmm. had this, this, and this, and this. I got a little bit of compassion. If I know they're trying mm-hmm. and there's a lot of mess going on, mm-hmm. if it comes down between, you know, a 59 or a 60, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to give them that extra point to, mm-hmm. you know, pop them over to passing. Mm-hmm. If they just come in and yeah. don't say anything to me, they're going to get what they get.
They're taking some initiative. And right. that, to be honest, right. is a big part of maturing and growing and
right.
and learning how to educate and be educated is learning how to advocate and initiate
yeah.
when you need help, when you're, you know, all those things. So that is a very important skill. And I think you're right that, you know, A, it'll give you help if you don't understand right. something. But a lot of kids get real hesitant. Again, they're used to their teachers initiating with them yeah. or, and not all places. There's still high schools where you definitely have to do that. But, you know, there's a lot more interaction yeah. with your parents and the teachers. And there's progress reports. And then there's this time. And then there's conferences. Mm-hmm. That's not happening.
Yeah.
And that's not happening.
I will tell you, I don't do it. And I tell my students that I don't do it. I'm like, if you are absent, I am putting, if we have written work up here, here's where it is. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it right there. It is your job to get it,
yeah.
finish it, and turn it in. If you don't, you just get a zero. And I'm like, and if it's a lab day, you need to come to me because we are
so
busy.
And you need to figure out a time. Yep.
Busy. I don't have time no. to chase you down. We are constantly
and nor
going. Right.
No,
and,
nor should you.
And that's where I think we set kids up to fail so much.
Yep, I agree.
Is doing that. And they need to take their responsibility. I said, my job is to get you ready for the workplace. Mm-hmm. That's my job.
Yep.
And if you're not doing your job at your workplace, mm-hmm. you're going to get fired.
Yep.
And here, you're going to get a zero.
If your workplace, if you need to go to a coworker, if you need yep. to go to the manager and say, I am struggling with this, or I haven't learned how to do that, can yeah. you meet, can we have extra time on this and that? They will more than likely, you know,
yeah.
appreciate that. And you'll learn and grow and be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah I agree. I think a lot of kind of, you know, chasing the kids down and doing all the yeah. things. And believe me, I had to do, listen, my youngest Hudson Trotter, you know, you yeah. almost killed me. That dang assignment notebook yeah. almost put me into the grave.
parents, let your kids fail. Let them.
Better to fail something in
fail
freshman
now.
In high school
and
than
have,
a freshman in college.
And I'll tell you, I've had a student who he didn't turn his work. I mean, and they have, mm-hmm. look, I've got a lot of students with some learning disabilities. And so almost every test that I give is an open book test. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, it's a no-brainer, really.
Just do the work. Just look it up.
Do the work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I tell them all, I said, if you fail culinary, the only reason you will fail culinary is because you were lazy. Laziness right, is the only thing.
You didn't do the things.
So yeah. I have had a student that kept getting, I mean, he had like 4 or 5 zeros and is because he wasn't turning things in. And I appreciate it. His mother came to me and said, can he make this up? And I said, I am going to tell you no. And I said, and here's why. Mm-hmm. He's not doing it. He's sitting back there goofing off and he's not doing it. He's blowing mm-hmm. it off. Mm-hmm. And I said, he's got to learn from that right now. That mm-hmm. and this is the time to do it. He's just a sophomore. Let him fail.
We and can handle like, this now.
Yeah. And she was like, okay. Yeah,
that's she's great. Like, what I commend that parent 100%
because that,
that
is, yes.
does not always happen.
No,
and the other thing I would say was I would be like, even in that conversation with that mom, even if you thought it maybe you could, I'd be like, your child needs to come talk to me.
Yeah, yeah,
I appreciate you bringing
it was,
up. But
it was parent teacher conference. Okay,
so I was going to say, I'm not saying parents can't talk to the teacher about it, but I'm just saying, like, if there is something to be done too, like the child then needs to take the initiative to come make an appointment with you and talk to you about it.
Yeah. So,
you know,
but she was cool. She understood it.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying is get, because y'all, so many lessons or what they need to learn is not necessarily about yeast bread as much as it is about life. These are life lessons that are going to serve them more down the road than right now, you know, than
with anything.
With anything.
With any family life, job life, church life, community life, with anything they're going to do, you know, we all have to learn how to keep our word, how to show up when we need to show up, how to ask for help when we need help. You know, these are all important things to learn. So, and I'm sure kids are really learning it. You know, I'm sure there's lots of good teachers like you and others and good parents that are, you know, making it happen. But you're right. No. That transition to college can be a different bowl of gravy.
That's right.
So that's okay. And that's okay too. You know, but just kind of just be aware that if your kid is kind of a little, you're sensing a little something, or they even come home if there's fall breaks and, and they're, you know, kind of struggling, that's totally natural, normal.
And also they may crash when they come in from fall break.
Yeah. I mean, don't expect to do a lot of stuff.
Just let them
don't
crash.
Don't be like, we're going here, we're going there.
Don't automatically go, oh, they're depressed, y'all.
Right.
They're going to crash.
They're just tired.
Yeah. They're tired.
They want your good food.
Yeah.
You know, they just feed them up.
Love
let
them
be in their, let them be in their room. Let them connect with their family and maybe their friends who are home from high school, you know, that they haven't seen. And just, that's a good piece of advice. So anyway, I just saw that and I thought that would be more useful than the alligator roll. Go with the roll. I feel like more people will gain. I mean, maybe not. Maybe not. Okay. But I'm covering everything.
Appreciate your advice.
Thanks. This is what it's like to live in Holly's brain, you guys. Ask my husband. He's like, what in the heck? Why do you think about things? Like, because I don't know. Okay, are you ready to give us a recipe today?
Sure.
Unless there was something else you needed to share or chat with us about?
No, but one thing I do want to do next week, because I think it's still too early, but I think we need to start talking about it, are your Thanksgiving plans if you're hosting it. So I think
let's
start getting organized. And,
yes, ma'am.
And all of that. So.
Okay, that'll be next week. Okay, perfect. Uh-huh.
All right, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Bananas Foster bread pudding.
Yummy.
All right. Here you go, y'all. You need 5 eggs and you're going to lightly beat them. You need 2.5 cups of whole milk, 2 cups of heavy whipping cream. This is a low calorie recipe.
Definitely.
1 3/4 cups of sugar, 2 tablespoons of dark rum, 2 tablespoons of banana liqueur, 2 medium bananas mashed or smashed, however you want to say it.
However you want to do it.
1.5 teaspoons of ground cinnamon and 12 cubed sweet Hawaiian loaf bread. You got it? You
know the.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a secret tip right there.
Yep. And then you're going to have a custard sauce. I'll go over that in a minute.
Okay.
And then you'll just garnish it with bananas. But you're going to get a 9x13 baking dish. And grease that up real good. And then just mix your eggs, your milk, your cream, sugar, your rum, your liqueur, your bananas, and your cinnamon. And then add your bread to that. You'll need a big old bowl. Toss all that to coat. Let it stand for 30 minutes. Then you're going to pour that into your baking dish. And place that dish in a large roasting pan. And you're going to put water. This is called a water bath, by the way. You're going to put about 1 inch of water in that roasting pan. Not in your banana, not your mix. In the bottom of the
roasting pan. On the outside, in the big other pan it's sitting in. Right. We're going to get some steam going up in here.
Right. You're going to bake that at 350 for about 1 hour and 15 minutes until that center is set. And then you lightly cover that with aluminum foil. I would guess probably halfway through the baking process, if you start to, the whole reason for that is so that it doesn't get too brown around the edges, because it's going to take that middle longer to cook. Right. So if you check on it and you see it getting a little browner than you want, go ahead and put that aluminum foil over it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then once you're done, take it out of the water bath and cut it in, like, get a round cutter if you want to do that. If you want to pretty it up, get a 2-inch round cutter and then serve it with your custard sauce.
2 inches?
Okay. Yeah. I know you're looking for about a 5-inch one, aren't you?
I'm looking for a good 4-inch right there. Oh, boy.
Okay. So your custard sauce, 2 eggs, a can of evaporated milk, a 3/4 cup of packed dark brown sugar, 1/2 cup of milk, 1 tablespoon of cornstarch, 1 tablespoon of cold water, 2 tablespoons of dark rum, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 4 tablespoons of butter. Again, this is a low calorie.
This is a healthy, very healthy option.
Healthy snack. Healthy snack. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to whisk together your egg yolks is what you, did I say 2 eggs? You need 2 egg yolks.
I think you did, but yeah, okay. For custard.
Two egg yolks. Whisk together your egg yolks, your evaporated milk, brown sugar, and your milk. And then in another small bowl, you're going to whisk together the cornstarch and cold water until smooth. So your cornstarch is there to be a thickener. That's the whole, it just keeps it from being runny. That's going to thicken it up. Mm-hmm. Then add your cornstarch mixture, your rum, and your vanilla to the egg mixture. Pour in a medium saucepan. Bring it to simmer over medium heat, whisking constantly for about 7 to 9 minutes until it's thick. Remove it from heat and then whisk in that butter. So let me caution you with this, especially if you have a gas stove, but even with an electric one, make sure that heat is not too high, because any time that you are doing anything with a cream or cheese sauce, anything like that, if it burns, it ruins the entire, thing tastes like ash. Mm-hmm. So there's no yes. going back.
There isn't.
Yeah. Keep it low. Even if it takes you a little longer, it would be better for you to keep that heat on low and constantly whisk it.
Have I told you the story about my dad's burnt ice cream?
No.
When I was a kid, we would make, of course, ice cream in the summers, and you cooked it over the stove, you know, just like kind of like this. I don't know why, but you'd cook it over the stove for a little bit. Yeah. The eggs, I guess, because of the egg, whatever. And so you make your base, and then before you, then you cool it off, and then you put it in your ice cream maker. And my dad's a great cook.
Right.
Like, the man can throw it down and cook. But he had made the base, and I guess he'd burnt
the bottom.
Burn it. But thought, well, maybe it's not that bad, you know, whatever. Yeah. It'll be fine, you know, like everyone's. So we put it in there, and we made the ice cream, and it was a chocolate. And we had ice cream that tastes like burnt
ash. It tastes like ash.
It was just burnt. Yeah. We were like, this is some burnt ice cream. And we thought that was so funny, because how can ice cream be burnt?
Be burnt,
like,
yeah.
It was. So yeah, there's your
lesson. I had a student that was so mad. We had a huge lunch, you know, and I preach this all the time. And coming up, and so we had done a lot of prep work the day before of what we could do. And when we had a big old pot of mashed potatoes, and another big old pot of macaroni and cheese. And this boy, I said, all you have to do is stir these. That's all I need you to. I mean, it was lunch. It's coming up. We're just heating it up. And I said, I just need you to stir it. Stir both of these. Well, I walked back in there, and that boy's sitting there with his phone out and is leaned up against the can. He burnt both of them. I couldn't serve them. I don't even remember what we did, but it was crazy. I was so mad. So mad.
I would have been mad,
Had
too.
Had I been at a workplace, he would have been fired.
Well, yeah. Yep.
So
exactly.
He got a 0.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. You failed stirring. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So continue on with your sauce. I'm sorry, I interrupted with your burnt. So your
No,
your
that was it. Right.
You
make it, yes.
And then you just pour it on the top.
You pour it over the top of your little, you know, put your circle of bread pudding there, and then pour your sauce over that.
Pour it all, make a little puddle underneath it so you can dip it in there.
Dip it in there.
I like to dip
it in
there.
Put a few bananas on top of that little circle.
Yes. A little sprinkle of cinnamon.
Oh, you could do a little sprinkle of cinnamon.
Or nutmeg, a little sprinkle on it. Okay. Yep. And light it on fire.
There you go.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
You could, I guess.
You could with all that rum in it.
All on top and see what happens.
It's a flaming. Speaking of
it's
hash.
It's a flaming. Oh, that sounds amazing. Oh, my goodness. That sounds so good. What a fun. And like, what a festive, like, I don't know. It just feels very fall, but like festive. It's different than a cake.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just a little a little notch up. You could serve that after gnocchi. You've had your gnocchi for dinner, and then you could. Awesome.
Listen, speaking of Thanksgiving, maybe I should save this for next week, but this is on my mind so I can start planning. And I sent the whole big group chat of everybody that's coming to Thanksgiving.
I took a picture, a screenshot.
What do you want? Because this is what I do. What's one thing everybody wants on the Thanksgiving table?
You have to read it.
They're like a whole hog.
So she puts this out to my whole family, her family, Dr. Brilliant. Anyway. And she's being so sincere. And the first answer from John Garrett was a proper beverage.
Yes.
Caleb says boogie.
Boogie.
My oldest says a whole hog.
And Holly says cheese in the shape of the Mayflower. And
I said a scale model of the Mayflower made out of cheese. That's what I want on the table.
And then I quickly reminded her that she's bringing the snacky stuff and that a cheese was considered the snacky stuff.
I know. So. She was like, that sounds great. I was like, oh no, that's a bad idea. And then it was like a whole, my husband was like a whole turkey. And I think he was serious about that. He likes him a whole turkey, but don't listen to anything.
We're doing a whole turkey. That's already on there.
There's a lot of us. So, my oldest son chimed back in and he was like a whole turkey stuffed into a whole hog. And I'm like, you know what? Just, I'm so sorry.
So what did I say? Was it a turkin or
turducken or a turhagen or
turhagen?
Yeah, turhagen
or turcog or something. I don't know.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want it. And then I did say to you, and then your oldest, of course, being the kind normal person, said his potato something he wanted.
Potatoes Romanoff, which
that's right, which you've told us about.
Which he knows because I'm reading all this going, fine, you people are going to get liver.
I know. She said, Jamie, you guys are just going to get
salad.
Jamie's
like, oh, crap.
Yeah, Jamie's like, I want the potato Romanoff.
Potatoes.
And then I said the cornbread dressing. Yes. So we got some normal answers, but, you know, it was a really funny little text thread.
Yes.
Like, see, this is what she gets when she asks us idiots.
Yeah, I'm just going to say you get what you get and you don't throw
it. I know. You get what you get. We totally.
That's right.
We get that. So, okay. Are you ready for my top three?
Is it my week? It is your week.
Top three.
Okay.
Chickadee.
I knew it. Okay. The first thing on my top three this week was a book that I finished not too long ago, maybe about just a week or two ago. And it's called Upstairs at the White House, and it's by J.B. West. And he was the chief usher at the White House for many, many decades through many, you know, people that work at the White House will often
work there for a
long time. And the chief usher is kind of the person in charge of the house itself, of the White House as a house, as an entertaining place, as a home. So he really is the one, that works in his, and it's the subtitle is life, I think it was called My Life with the First Ladies or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's because he works very closely with the First Ladies because they're kind of the ones that usually have been more in charge of the house itself. And it is so fascinating. I love a behind the scenes.
Yeah, I do too.
When you think of someone in that position and the things they've seen and the things they know and just how it works. I don't need to know like dirt. I just need to know like, how does that work? And it was fascinating because he was there. He was the assistant usher to the chief for the first, maybe the first president or two, some point in there, he became the chief, you know, they kind of moved him up after the other one retired, but he was there serving at the White House from the FDR through Nixon.
Yeah.
Retired during Nixon, I think. And I mean, when you think about that, so it was like FDR, Truman, I don't know, Eisenhower, what's next? Kennedy, Johnson. Who am I forgetting? Yeah, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon.
Nixon.
And like each one of them, so he's telling the story. It's very easy to read. It's very enjoyable writing. And he really just tells, like, it, you get a real sense of what the White House was like with that presidency, with that first, their habits, kind of where they, so the whole second floor of the White House, they really get to decide what rooms they want to use. Mm-hmm. They can have this be their bedroom or that be their bedroom, or this can be your study, or, you know, all, you know, the ones that had kids there, it's like, this is where their room was. And he described all the furnishings and kind of the taste of each of the first ladies and what their schedule and their day was like. And the president, it's just really, really good. If you're just interested in that and kind of finding out the inside scoop and then the whole, when the, so each first lady, you really get to see their personality.
Yeah.
What was important to them, you know, what they shined at. Yeah.
You know, and what a job to see, right? Because, you know, they are called, sometimes this may not be their dream as much as it was
their husband's dream. That's exactly right.
You know, yeah,
it's, and it's they the highest unpaid job in the land.
Right. Yeah, right. And you get to see the heartache that they go through and the joys they go through, the, you know, the proud moments and the devastation and the, that would be a very interesting position there.
Yeah. I'm fascinated. I'm totally fascinated with that. So it was very good for that. And describing how the state dinners and just all the things, like if you like Downton Abbey and you like to see how the kind of house was run, or you liked West Wing to kind of see some of the behind the scenes, you know, it's just really good. But these are real people. You saw their personalities from how they dressed, their demeanor, and all said very lovely things about every one of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see, I don't know, just all the different, some real historical moments that were happening that he was around for and got a phone call, you know, we're going to need dinner at, you know, the first lady, you know, we canceled the state dinner, you know, because the Cuba Missile Crisis was about to happen.
Like, yeah, right.
Stuff like that. You're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Jacqueline Kennedy's revisions of the White House and bringing in the antiques and bringing the art from the gallery and just each, and then his death.
Yeah.
And what that was like. What was that transition between the Kennedys and the Johnsons and how that'll happen?
Yeah.
Y'all, it's fascinating. Yeah. So I highly recommend that if you were interested. There's many other books, I'm sure, like that, but it was upstairs at the White House.
You know, and how hard that would be. You know, you develop relationships with these people. And I don't know what his relationship was like with, you know, with Jackie O at all, but, you know, if he's got this great relationship with her, and then all of a sudden he's shot, she leaves. I mean, there's not, you're
that's
thinking
what
you've got, you know, a couple more years with somebody and then they're just gone. And
that's exactly kind of what had a very good relationship as he did with most of them, but he worked very closely, you know, probably a lot with her because of the renovations and the actual, the job of White House curator got formed during her time. Cause they're like, we really need someone that curates these antiques and understands what's in the storage. And so they did work very closely with her. Yeah. Good. And then she came back and was there at the White House and how they all greeted, just the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like in whose rooms. And she had created a little preschool for Caroline up in the solarium. There's a little third floor solarium. And they told each president, sometimes it was a teenage hangout for the Johnson girls and the, you know, and it was this and that, but for Caroline, she had it redone as like a little preschool, and she had other kids came in. There was about 20 other children that came in and did preschool up there.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? It's awesome.
I mean, I was like, what? But it made sense. So she had her little preschool up there. And then after JFK was killed and they moved out into a townhouse or something in DC, but she continued. That was her one request, was she said, can Caroline finish, and the other children?
Yes.
Can they finish the year or the term even? It might have just been even that term in their little preschool. And they did. I mean, so you learn a lot.
Yeah.
You learn about the swimming pool. You learn about the Rose Garden. You learn when those things were put in. Yeah. It's, I could go on and on. I'm a big nerd, but highly recommend. So that was cool. Number two. Okay. Oh my gosh.
She's having a moment, y'all.
Listen, no, I'm not kidding you. I'm reserving the slightest amount of judgment, but I'm pretty much only because I haven't worn them a ton and I haven't washed them. It's not a bra. You're thinking it's a bra. Okay. It's not.
I was hoping.
It's not.
Yeah.
No, I'm still testing those. So I'm not saying, but this item may be my number one favorite purchase online off of an Instagram ad that I've ever made ever in my life. If you've seen the ads, they're all over my feed. It's a brand. It's called Halara, H-A-L-A-R-A. And it's a lot of jeans and stretchy and like it's a lot of pants and jeans. And now that I'm telling you about it, you will see it and you will get ads. Just
After you talked about Sting the other day, all of a sudden I got a thing on my phone.
I know.
I hadn't even looked at Sting. I mean, it was like, what? I got an ad thing that it, happy birthday, Sting. It was like.
I know. I'm telling you. They're all
Halara. Yeah.
Halara, H-A-L-A-R-A. And I have the link.
Okay.
And they kept showing me these ads. They have all different kinds of pants. But their main thing is these, they do leggings. They do all kinds of stuff. Someone's coming to my door. What in the
world?
Oh, they just dropped something in a regular person in shorts and a t-shirt, got out of a white sedan, and just walked up and put something at my door. It could be Amazon. Sometimes they they have regular cars here. Anyway, and I got a pair of, they're called the Halara Flex High-Waisted Multi-Pocket Wide Leg Washed Stretchy Knit Casual Jean. That's a lot of words.
Okay.
It's a lot of words.
I guess they have them in petites, don't they?
They do.
No. Seriously?
They do.
All right. Okay.
They have petite, regular, and I got the tall.
Okay.
Which I don't always have, but I wanted these to be really long enough. Wide leg. You guys, these are stretchy, pull-on jeans. There's no button. There's no zipper, but it looks like there's a little zipper. Uh-huh. Front pockets, back pockets, stretchy. It is like wearing yoga pants. It is like you're wearing a pair of, they are soft. They are thin. Okay. I like a thin jean.
Sometimes
I don't
like the stretchy jean because it just feels weird. It's just,
These feel like yoga pants.
Okay.
Okay. So like if you like a yoga, you know, it's not a sweatpant feel. Yeah. It's a yoga pants.
Okay.
Soft, thin denim, but it's got the pockets, like I say, but it hugs you in the right. These are the wide leg. I think they have it in a regular. I'm kind of tempted to get the regular. All I know is I got my normal size. Okay. So they seem to be size. The waistband is like kind of a nice thick, you know, just sort of a nice, but again, there's no button. It's super stretchy. You just pull these bad boys on. You just pull them on.
All right. I'm going to go look at them.
I'm telling you right now, you can sit, you can do whatever. It was a little booty lifting. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie about it. Now, I'm going to see, like I said,
a lot of stretch things,
they stretch out. I don't think these are going to do that because these are like a four-way, like a really different kind of design. And I'll see how they wash. I went immediately. I tried them on and I went immediately out and ordered two more wash colors of the same pants.
Okay.
And it is all I want to be in all fall. Because I'll be honest, I've got this whole pile of jeans, and y'all understand, but and the weather's not really
It's cool too hot right now. Yeah.
So these are nice because they're thin, so they give you that nice jean. And I don't like a thick, heavy, non-stretch. Like, I don't want to put on any of my jeans. Mm-hmm. I've got some cute ones, and I will. I've got some good wide leggers. You know, I've got a few, but they're kind of thick. And again, and this thing too, there's no gapping in the back because it's sucked right up against you. You sit down, you don't have the gap.
Okay.
You guys, I'm not over them. I will never get over these pants. So you just have to go look. Like I said, I'm going to see how they wash. You know, I wore them 2 days in a row. I wore them with my little cute Great Pumpkin t-shirt, Joni, and I was so cute in fall. On the first day of October, I had my little Great Pumpkin t-shirt and my jeans. It was a moment. I'm not even kidding. So hopefully they'll stay good. But they did. I noticed because I thought, but I was like, they had petite.
Okay.
So maybe. They've got ones too that different. Again, I'm so tempted, but I'm like, calm down, lady. They've got ones that have the button and kind of normal that are wide leg, but then they have this huge cuff on the bottom. Like they turn it up and attach like a really big cuff. And I was like, well, those look real. And they're stretchy too. And I'm like, okay, that's number two. The last thing I have is just a thing. It's just something I've been, again, top three is for whatever you want to do. And it's something I've just really appreciated this week. And it's the idea of having different hobbies that I enjoy doing. Like, and for me particularly, it's a kind of, there's some crafty things, some arty kind of things that I enjoy doing, whether it's, you know, the paint by numbers, the crocheting, the needle, cross stitch, something, you know, if it's a puzzle, whatever it is. But I just have found, I just really, even though I have not had a lot of time this week to do any of those extra things, I find myself thinking about it going, oh man, you know, I really wish I could sit down and do my painting or whatever it is. It's just kind of knowing that I have that, things that I enjoy doing and that nourish me and nurture me. I really am learning to appreciate that and seeing that this week, especially. And as we're, you know, we're dealing with my sweet mother-in-law and she's got dementia pretty badly, you know, still relationship with us, still knows us and all that, but it's not easy. And one of the things I've noticed is just not having things that you're kind of interested in and like to do is, and I know sometimes that can fade, but I think that's a very important part of, you know, even as we just go through whatever it is, and it can be anything. And some of those things will go away. I mean, I understand that, you know, it just depends, but whatever it is that you can kind of find things that you really enjoy to do, that are good hobbies,
little, just mean a lot. Little stress reliever.
Yeah. It's great. And I've really just enjoyed that this week, just even knowing that, oh, I sat down for a few minutes and painted and I was like, and this just helps me. It just really feels good. So that's my top three.
All right.
What do you think about that?
I'm intrigued.
You're intrigued.
Intrigued.
Go look at those.
Now.
Go look at those pants. I'm telling you. Okay, good. That makes me
happy. All right. Well, you all have a fabulous week.
Yes.
And we will see you next week.
We'll see what happens this Saturday.
That's right.
In football, more chaos, we hope, but
who knows?
Who knows? Anything can happen.
That's right.
All right. We will see you later. Goodbye, Cornbread.
See you, Corn Dip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's my name.
Don't wear it out.
Don't wear it out. Golly, that's ridiculous.
Hello.
Hello. Is it Tuesday?
It's Sunday.
It's Sunday. You look stunning. Okay. God. Listen, I'm having some, we're doing good.
Okay.
Good thing you got on quick.
I got on quick.